Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. Today we have one I'm so excited for.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Robbie, the lead game designer of Max Mustard, developed by Toast Interactive.
Game that instantly puts a smile on your face when you say it.
Yeah, the other month we talked with Richie from Toast Interactive. You know, we were talking about Richie's playing experience, but we got sidetracked on Max Mustard.
Talk about it totally different. Couldn't be more polar opposite of games there.
Yeah, but I've been hyped for Max Mustard since. Mm-hmm. So release is, you know, is right around the corner. I'm so excited for this one. So before I get carried away, Robbie, do you mind to introduce yourself a little bit for
absolutely.
The listeners?
Absolutely. So I go by Robbie, lead game designer / level designer / everything else at Toast Interactive. And yeah, I'm just really excited to release Max Mustard to the world in a couple of days now. I guess by the time people see this, maybe it's already out.
Well, I can say it puts a smile on our face. We when we talked to Richie, it made me smile just conceptually, and then just something about saying the name Max Mustard just makes me happy.
Yeah, and then all the promotion leading up into it, seeing the slow snippets of gameplay, I was like, this one's gonna be fun. I love platformers in VR, and this one looks pretty in depth.
This one hits every platform niche you could probably ever want in a game.
Mm-hmm. So before we get too carried away with Max Mustard, because I'm hyped about this one, let's get to know you a little bit more too, Robbie. Is this your first game that you've worked on in VR? If not, you know, what's your background in VR?
Yeah, so I've been working as a game designer for over 10 years now. Been working on digital trading card games, and I did mobile games like AAA mobile for like 5-6 years. And then, you know, I was kind of a bit sick of all the red tape. So I was like, I'm going to just make my own game by myself. And then somewhere in that process, I saw like a little advert pop up for a level designer at Toast. And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. You know, like I like platformers, and I came in and, you know, Rich tried to kind of explain the game to me and how it works. And I mean, I must admit, at first I didn't get it. I was a bit like, you know, this is crazy, you know, to have 50, you know, I think at the time it may have been 100, but, you know, many, many, you know, completely unique levels, you know, in a platformer game with different mechanics in every level, in virtual reality. And I was a bit like, this is nuts. Like this studio has never really made a game of this scale before. I loved it. You know, I was drawn in, and you know, it was kind of this perfect intersection of stuff that I loved. You know, obviously growing up playing platformer games, I used to actually speedrun Crash Bandicoot 2. So there may be some similarities or some inspiration from certain levels and certain mechanics from Crash Bandicoot, but yeah, it was things I loved, things I was nostalgic about, but also something that I had no idea about, which was virtual reality. You know, it was the perfect intersection of something I loved, something I was good at, and something that was kind of fresh, something that I'd never really had to think about before.
So you weren't a VR user or anything before you hopped into this project, right?
Before I hopped into this project, I'd used like a DK1 dev kit like once, you know, to play like Elite Dangerous or something, you know, way back when. But no, essentially I was completely fresh.
And did you have to deal with some of the classic things that some people deal with when they're new to VR, like motion sickness and stuff like that? Or were you kind of more iron stomached in your development side?
I would say I'm more iron stomach. I've definitely tried to avoid anything that's like too crazy though. Well, not crazy, but you know, like I think there are certain things that, you know, we know now, or like, I mean, Rich was kind of the expert at it at the time. I was like, you know, like, can we do this? And he's like, no, we absolutely like cannot do certain things. And anytime we tried to do those things, like someone in the office has been sick. So, which has been very like hard and fast on, you know, certain VR rules. And some of them, like you may not even notice, but, you know, like every level, like how would I say this, the ground, like at every point, like has to be below your waist. Like if the ground does ever feel like it's moving through your chest or through your, you know, your waist, then, you know, we, certain people will feel like kind of sick by that. Right. And, we've had like a lot of VR restrictions in the creation of this game in the levels. Well, like, you know, space, like how far away, you know, Max Mustard is from you at any one point and how high the ground is. Yeah, like it's, VR is the biggest challenge in this project, which is no surprise. It's
So what was the stage of the game at when you had hopped in the project as well?
Between 0% and 1% complete. It was, you know, there was like some very little like kind of prototypes. You know, you could run around with the character, and you know, you could jump on some things. And I think there was a couple of like kind of prototypey levels that were made before I got in, but by the time I got in, they weren't working. So when I come in, it was essentially a fresh slate.
It was just an idea.
Yeah, it was an idea. You know, there was a few prototypes rolling around, but even that idea was insanely different to the one like we came out with. To me, it's insanely different. It's always been a platformer game, you know, but the gadget was meant to be in every single level. You know, so you have both the suction and the plunger whacker essentially in the same gadget. Where you could like suck up fruit and, you know, like plop them out, like all on the same gadget. And that was meant to be in like every single level. And you kind of would use that in different ways. Maybe like pick up fruits and then plant the seeds, which would, you know, they would grow into a platform. So you could like pop up or hit switches to like help Max Mustard move around. Yeah, I guess we found out the VR is hard. And I think Richie even said this when you were speaking to him last about like patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. Like it never felt quite right. It was always like, man, like we're trying to force people to do too much. With that, all that said, back then Richard said, this has to be like a one button game. Like you can only jump. There's no attack. There's no, you know, butt slam. There's no dash attack. And to like tie it all together, there was a, every level was meant to be insanely short. And I kind of look back on this one. I'm like, I almost wish we did it a little bit different. I'm happy with the result, but, I feel like I let Rich down a little bit on this one because he said he wanted every level to be insanely short. You know, once you pop, you can't stop. You have this neat little experience and then you go straight onto the next level. So I think right now, every level, I say to the level designers, I'm like, if you as the level designer can't collect everything in this level and get to the end in 3 minutes, it's too long. But I think in Richard said when we started, it was more like a minute. It was, I remember I came in, I did like a little sketch for, you know, what the level would be for, what's it called now? Logs and Frogs. And you know, it's a reference to Frogger, basically. Yeah, a little Frogger level. And he kind of looked at me, he was like, oh wow, like you turned it into a full level. When I think he was expecting like literally just like one Frogger, you know, like sequence, you know, like cross the logs, cross the crocodiles or whatever, get to the other side. That's the entire level. And so, you know, I look back on it and it's like, wow, like this game was meant to be these insanely short and, you know, like different experience, like levels, with a gadget in every single one that you would use to interact with the world. And what we ended up with was quite different. You know, I love it. It's a throwback to my youth. You know, I love all these platformer games and like, that's what we made. But I think, yeah, the original goal was very different. And
well, I got to say, I definitely didn't beat the levels in 3 minutes. I didn't time myself, so it's hard to say. I lean towards, like, it probably took me like 7-8 minutes so far a level, maybe six.
No.
How long do you think?
Couple of minutes.
Couple of minutes, you think?
Yeah.
I'm only like 5-6 levels into the game, though. So it's hard for, I'm still in act one. It's hard for me to say. It doesn't feel like it was 1 minute. Definitely, it felt like long, a little bit longer than 3 minutes, but I think it was a bad length. Like, it felt very appropriate length.
I felt like when I completed the first, which obviously isn't very difficult.
Correct.
Or the first handful, let's be honest. But I didn't feel, it was like on that cusp of, is it too short or did I just go through it too quickly? But I got everything that I was supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when trying to get everything you're supposed to get gets more challenging. I was still able to get everything I needed to get, and I don't feel like I spent a lot of time.
No, my point was going to be, yeah, that it didn't feel like too long of levels. I think you accomplished a very good job.
It's a nice
that.
Medium.
Because I do honestly feel like, honestly, if it was a minute long,
that'd
or even 2 minute longs,
a minute
I
would
do
be
think
way that, too short, dude.
Correct. I think that would be too short. I think
you'd
3 to 5
levels.
Minutes, that might be the more ideal length.
Well, plus it is challenging it after the initial, you know, grease job of making you think it's going to be a walk in the park every day.
I mean, this is exactly the kind of discussion we have in the office because, I mean, I think you can make shorter levels, but we might have to do things a little bit differently, right? Like, I think, have you guys played Super Meat Boy?
No, I have not.
Not a VR game.
I don't have them all named. To be honest, I don't know. I'm amazed that you're just whipping out the names. There's so many levels. No, I'm only in the first.
Oh, sorry. Super Meat Boy is a different game.
Game. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were calling it a level.
Yeah. It's like a 2D platformer, and every level is like a single screen, basically. They're like extremely short, but they're also extremely like challenging. Like, you're kind of expected to die like 100 times before you get to the level. I think in that situation, like those are great because, you know, you can change up when you can go and do something else whenever you want, right? Like, you can leave the game, you know, look after your kid, come back and the game's still there. Like, you haven't lost any progress. You haven't done whatever. And I think like we look at like some of these other games, which are like the length of their levels is like really quite long. And it's kind of like, well, I was never satisfied finishing those levels. I was more like relieved, you know? It was more like, oh, thank God that's over, you know? Like, and I think that there's like such a middle ground there with, you know, getting the length right. So it's not like frustrating, you know, like, oh, like, can we just go to the next level already? You know, like, I've seen this all before. It's boring now, whatever. And I think we got it to a good point. But yeah, the original idea was very different.
Well, that kind of—I'm
glad they're a little longer than a minute.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, and that happens. I feel like a lot in game development, you're going with one idea, but then just
and not for nothing. I mean, let's say the average person takes 3 minutes, right? Let's say it is a 3 minute mark.
Yeah, I mess around a lot
for everything that's there. It's like it's almost disrespectful if 60 seconds was the norm to whip through each level. It's like, why go through all the trouble of making a beautiful world if you're only going to get it for 60 seconds? So I don't mind it being a little longer than 6. Plus, it's a challenge too, because let's be honest, you might not be great at it, but you can always, you know, get better and figure out how to get all the shit on the thing. So no, I got no complaints with the
And something I got to give a lot of credit for is like, so that first tutorial mission, you know, they're having you collect the coins. I'm like, yeah, you know, classic platformer element. Am I really going to go out of my way to get all of them? Probably not. Then right after that, then they bring you to the shop. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there's upgrades and I need these coins to buy the upgrades. And now I'm hunting every single coin. So I'll give you all a lot of credit for, you know, including the classic little coin feature, but then giving you probably the best incentive possible
to go.
Yeah, upgrades. So was that part of the original decision, or was there a point, you know, in the development where you're like, we really have to incentivize people to get these? Here's a shop. I love that decision.
The decision was definitely made early. I don't know if it was in when I first got here, like 3.5 years ago or something, but yeah, it's been a while. but it was very early because obviously we wanted to include all of these throwbacks to, you know, these platformers of our childhood that we grew up with. And collecting coins, collecting something like every second or two is a big part of that. But we also kind of knew that we didn't really want like a live system. We don't want to make the game frustrating. We don't want to punish people for not being very good at it, right? Like we want like this to be a game where the family can play, right? And you give the headset to, you know, like a child, maybe not like a child, but, you know, like a younger person that hasn't really played a lot of these platformer games. And we expect them to die a lot. We didn't want it to be like, oh, game over, got to start again. But yeah, we wanted coins to do something, right? Like we want to collect these coins for some reason, because if they did nothing, then yeah, like you said, why would you collect them? And it's an argument we've had many times. I watched your interview with Richard and he said, he was talking about this, but we argued all the time about the show because it made our lives as like level designers pain in the backside. even now, I think very close to launch, we moved the dash attack very early in the game. It used to be like, you know, you need to be 75% of the way through the game before you got it. And now in theory, you can get it like quite early. It's quite expensive, but you can get it quite early. And it just blows all of our metrics out. It's like, yeah, we wanted people to jump like certain distances. And now you can just kind of like, you know, if you've got it and you're smart with it, you can like fly over like certain areas and just kind of skip stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, you're right. Like we had to do something with coins. We had to give people something to spend coins on and something that was meaningful and they actually wanted to collect. And the shop is where we ended up. I would have loved to have gone further with it, you know, and had kind of more, like, let's say you can climb walls or something. Yeah. And then, you know, you can go back to older levels. You know, you see like a little surface and you're like, oh, like I think I could have wall climbed that. So you buy the upgrade and you go back and then you can like unlock like an additional mud pup or like some kind of secret, you know, because you got this upgrade. Maybe later down the line we can do
something. That is a cool feature though.
You're a real perfectionist, aren't you? I can tell that there's 100 things you still want to do, even though it's out.
It's been excruciating on this project. Yeah, because I've always kind of considered myself, I guess, like a glass half full kind of guy. I'm like, I love what Maximus has become. But, you know, for every decision we made, there's like 5 in the body bag, right? There's just like an absolute wake of destruction of levels that didn't make it, features that got cut, you know, things that I wish we could have done like a little bit better, but we couldn't because of, you know, time or money or whatever else. I would love to revisit all those ideas. And, you know, if enough people have, supported the product, then maybe we'll get to revisit some of that.
Just all the potential in the world for DLCs.
Well, I'm just thinking like once everybody, you know, you got to give it time for it to be in the wild, for people to play it, really mm-hmm. enjoy it. And it's like, I think it's going to leave people with that. I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And however that approach is done by the studio, you know, that's on them, whether it's DLC or just add-ons or improvements or, hey, here's another 15 different levels.
Mm-hmm. Here's some Christmas theme levels.
Yeah, there's no way that you're not going to want more. Mm-hmm. It was always that way with any of the Nintendos, any of Zelda. It's like you always want more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing this as a good project. I mean, I'm having fun so far.
Yeah.
And it is bringing back early memories of, you know, I get those little bit of Mario flashbacks in there.
Well, let's be real. The first couple levels, you see the enemies right there. You're like, I know I got to jump on their head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a no-brainer.
I see the crate.
A box. Yeah.
I got to punch into it. Yeah. And that's nothing negative. It was cool. It was like, you don't even have to tell me what to do.
It's playing homage to every single, you know, from, you could argue from Sega to Nintendo to to all the game systems. So I'm liking it so far.
I'm glad to hear that, because I've always been like, man, like, I wish we could have pushed that nostalgia like a little bit more. And I've been told off a few times, like, you can't do that. Like, that's like from another game. You can't just do what they do. I'm like, what?
To me, it's like a love letter to the platformer genre.
But again, it's balance. And just like the level balance, there's people who will play it and never make a connection, right? Mm-hmm. They just won't. Maybe they never got to experience that style, or they never played games where...
They didn't grow up in the Nintendo era.
Correct. So it's like, and you could say Sonic too, because they had that, they were mighty big on the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Coin
the issue. Sega era, whatever, that era of gaming.
Correct. So
yeah,
it's a perfect balance.
Yeah, but we have to plan as well, like you said, for people that haven't played it before. Yeah. And I think it is, the game is very much targeted at, you know, I think Richard talked about this as well, but like a targeted at, you know, a certain person. It's a person that we made up, you know, but it's a person of a certain age, and they like platformers, and they grew up, and they don't have like a whole bunch of like time that they used to. But obviously a big part of that is they're a family man, you know, and it's an experience that you want to share with your family. You know, maybe that's a certain level. Maybe that's just like a Fast Fingers mini game. Maybe that's, you know, one of the kind of VR moments. You know, where you can just put the headset on your kid and be like, hey, like, try this and tell me what you think. And so, yeah, like, obviously, I'm a big old school platformer fan. I want to show like all the nostalgia in there. But then at the same time, maybe that if I got my way, maybe that would have like alienated, you know, some of those newer players.
Well, it is balanced good in that, you know, young players are going to have a great time with it. And older players are going to be like, the nostalgia.
They're going to pick up on the nostalgia, but it doesn't take away from the new experience. You as a seasoned veteran of the video game arts will recognize, like you said, there's a crate. Obviously, I know what I got to do. I got to
smash my head into it.
I must jump on this character in order to...
Mm-hmm. Don't let him walk into me.
Yeah. So, but again, if you didn't know it, then... You would figure it out, but it would be your first. So it's great.
Kind of cool, though, that for some young kids who didn't grow up in that era of gaming, that this is going to be a little introduction to them, hopefully, to that platformer genre.
And as important as these games were back then with like Sonic the Hedgehog and it's a Mario and his brother, it's like you have a bona fide character. And that's hugely important,
because
now you create the ability that, I mean, it's Max Mustard, right? Go on any adventure you choose.
Well, how about this? The way you wrote into the story, the gameplay element of being third person, you're not technically, yes, you control Max Mustard.
Yes.
But you're not Max Mustard. Yes. You're the driver, you know, you're his partner or her partner. Max Mustard's kind of ambiguous a little bit in that regard.
Be whoever you want.
Yeah. But I love that element because it's like you're third person, but that's written into the gameplay element of it. So, without spoilers and stuff, I know that sometimes that's hard, but do you want to give a brief synopsis of, I guess, the story of Max Mustard? Don't have to go through the whole thing, just like, what's the game, I guess, about for anyone that hasn't played it?
This is a tough one, because...
Yeah, we're the big anti-spoilers people, so it's always hard.
Because it's so fresh, it might not be the easiest thing to do. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess as a starting point, you know, you as the player are brought into this world to help Max clean up the world, save the day. You know, and along the adventure, you find out that one of your friends is in trouble, and you know, obviously the mud pups have been captured. And are planning to be sold off and, you know, used for lots of nasty things. So you go through and you rescue all the little mud pups, little animals. That kind of story develops a little bit further as you go along with your friend and she, like her kind of more personal problems that pop up along the way.
And there's the classic, you know, silly looking arch enemy villain in the game, you know, it's, Oh man, the game's very well put together in that regard. You got fan mail. Max Mustard's a good time.
I think it's a marketable franchise.
Yeah.
Have a cartoon.
We keep joking, you know, all the different condiments. Mini mayo.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the studio was quite lively in the development of it. It's one of those games puts you in a good mood. So.
I just want to picture the conversation of Richie selling it to Robbie. Like, it's a tough, dude. Like, how do you even describe, like, hey, man, I got this project I want you to help me on, or you might be interested in. And it's like, where do you even begin with this? Like, it's going to have coins. You know, like
the thing that kind of tipped me over was, you know, he kind of explained it to me on the phone when we first talked as, you know, it's like driving a remote control car, you know, but you're like, just kind of like above it or behind it. You know, so you get this kind of sense of speed, even though you're like not really, you know, traveling too fast, you know, like you're close to it, you feel like the sense of speed. And you're kind of just driving it down a New York City street, you know, like, you know, the boundaries, you're not really going too far, but like, yeah, you know, you're driving this car, this character down this road and, you know, collecting coins and jumping on enemies as you go. And then really the best way to explain it was he put me in Astrobot. Yep. I came in, he put the PlayStation headset on my head. He's like, play Astrobot. I was like, oh, great, you know? But he was like, that, but more Mario. I think that's the easiest way to explain it. Is it's you know, slightly less on the kind of VR pushing kind of boundaries, and like VR Astrobot was amazing. You know, all those like little experiences of, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for people. I get people aren't going to play it at this point. Like, it's not even, you can't even play it on PS5. So, you know, but like all this is like VR experiences, just like really making you use your head and like getting shot out through a whale spout. And, you know, like, there's all these crazy VR moments in it. And they're like, wow, like this is cool. And I think we want that, but we want that more from a gameplay set. From a like, yeah, like this is a cool mechanic that I haven't seen yet. In every single level, like something that will catch people by surprise every single time.
And how many total levels are there in Max Mustard? I know you referenced that there was some that you had to cut in that, but in the, yeah.
Honestly, the game. I'd have to check. Actually, I actually have this up right now. It's about 40.
I figured almost 50.
Yeah, it does get where I pulled a little. It does get a little fuzzy depending on how you kind of categorize like mini games. I think if you categorize, like if you count every single like mini game, there's like 43, 44 or something like that.
Still, that's a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on.
It's designed very casually that you can just pick it up, play a couple levels. If you're somebody that has, you know, only an hour or so to play a day, you can go in, actually feel like you made some significant progress in the game.
You can do some damage in an hour, dude.
And then, you know, put it down and pick up next game. Some games you put in an hour, it doesn't feel like you did anything.
You didn't dent it. It
wasn't even worth playing.
Well, and it was brought up before that, like, and I totally feel it. You get to some points in some games that's a save point or a checkpoint, and you're just relieved that you got there, and I'm all done for the day. Thank God it took me 45 minutes to get this far. You know, so to be able to bang out something in a short amount of time is always it makes it more playable to me. In if you're strapped for time, than going, I really want to play this, but I have to invest 2 hours every time I play it.
Yeah,
where this you don't have to.
This is a point that I'm like very particular on, and it wasn't something that I really realized, or at least I had the words to describe it until later on in development. Because we slowly started pushing out the game to, you know, some kind of more internal like meta QA and stuff, some just people that we were working with. And, you know, like I said, I'm kind of like a glass half full kind of guy. I'm like, you know, like when you work like really closely on a game, you know all the flaws, you know, all the problems, you know, and you're like, man, like, I hope people are going to enjoy this, you know, but people were playing it and they had like nothing but good things to say. And at some point I was like, wait a second, this is a trend. Like everyone is coming back and saying that they're really enjoying it. And I started to kind of think, I was like, why is this? And my hypothesis is that I talk mostly from my own experience in VR. I'm not going to assume it's the same for everyone else, but I find VR, people need only one reason to not play your game or to stop playing your game. And you know, there's been many VR games where I've been like kind of like looking forward to play it. I buy it. I play it for 45 minutes, an hour. I'm like, that was cool. And then I put it down and I never play it again. And, you know, I would say usually that has, you know, maybe I'm just feeling like a little bit queasy, not like sick, but like I can kind of feel it like coming on. Maybe like I just haven't seen something new in a while and I'm like, okay, like I'm just kind of over it. And I think VR is very good at these like really like small experiences, like, you know, put on the headset, jump off the plank, you know, play some like little shooting mini games or something, right? It's kind of like old arcade games, right? Like you put on the headset, you have like a nice little like half hour experience. But I think the actual retention rate on games in the Meta ecosystem right now is pretty poor. Again, I have no stats to back that up, but when I see people playing Max Mustard, and it's a game that I think a lot of people will play and their battery will run out. You know, it's like, look, they have no reason to put it down. They're like, oh, like I want to keep going. And if they do, like you said, like you go do something, I would like to hope that they'll come and put the headset on again and finish the game or like play it again. I don't think it was an accident, but I think it was something that we didn't necessarily have the words to describe at the time when like early on when we were making it. And yeah, I think we accidentally struck gold there. I think we made a game that people actually want to play because it's fun and not just because it's like a cool little experience that, you know, you can experience.
Well, if you give people, and we've heard other developers who have done quite well for themselves, you give people what they want or what they don't know they want, then it's going to be a success. But one of the key things, and you've brought it up a couple of times, is it is family friendly. There's nothing that I've seen so far that would make me go, oh, Lordy, mm-hmm. I can't, you know.
But it's also not too
close your eyes, Damien.
Yeah. Right. It's like, again, it's everything's balanced good. Well, although I do appreciate games that are kid friendly, but adult humor, because they're not smart enough to figure out the innuendos.
Or not only that, like a case like Max Mustard, that it's kid friendly, kids will enjoy it, but it's also not too little kid that I think an adult wouldn't enjoy it. To me, it's a great adult experience. Well,
and what's the weapon of choice in it? Plunger
gun?
Yeah. So it's like, even that in itself isn't like, it's not like heads are exploding.
No, with, you know, everything in
brain
it is
matter
silly.
Slapping on your headset. It's to me, it's meant for you to have fun,
mm-hmm.
hopefully catch a laugh because something might, you know, happen that's comical. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old. I think it's funny.
Yeah. No, I love the whole experience of it. They had me sold pretty quickly.
Well, Richie's a very enthusiastic individual. So I was thinking of like when Robbie was saying the like the being told about it, it's like I'm adding that Richie enthusiasm that mm-hmm. I think is its own entity in itself. So Richie could probably sell anything, you know, going to do a game called Dirt. It's just dirt.
I mean, even this one has been like kind of hard on that, I think. I find it funny because like I said, I came in and I was kind of a bit like, what are they doing? Like they're crazy. I was all for it, but you know, I was still like every level having a unique mechanic. Like that's nuts. And then, you know, over time, like I've been like, I get it now. I'm like, all right. Yeah. They're like, I'm totally down with this. You know, I've come full circle, but then every now and then, like Rich is very, you know, good on, you know, getting outside people to come and have a look, you know, to get a second opinion on things. And yeah, so we've had like multiple industry experts, you know, been in the game for like, you know, several decades, come in and they'll say what I was thinking, you know, they'll be like, you're crazy. And I'm like, you'll come around. It's funny, like seeing other people go through what I went through. Now I'm through it.
And you were able to hold true to the, because I haven't finished all 40 levels.
Uh-uh.
You held true to that different mechanic on every level?
Almost. There is one level with a repeat. Just because people like the level so much. It just seemed like a waste to only have it once.
It was such a good mechanic?
Yeah.
How hard is it to come up with that many different mechanics, though?
Not
without repeating. I'm really
but it's not hard. It's hard to keep the best ones.
Really? So there's a whole bunch that could, okay.
Like before I even got here, there was like 200 ideas. There was literally like a list a mile long of ideas, and we went through and we sketched and we tried most of them. Yeah, and it was basically just, we started with like something like 200, and then every kind of step of the way, every pass, we would do like a little sketch up, a little write up on like every single level. And at that point, we'd be like, we just got rid of 50. You know, like those ones didn't work out the way we wanted them to. And then, yeah, we would start like blocking out the level and like actually playing with a mechanic. And then, you know, at that point, we'd be like, okay, we're also getting rid of another 50. And then, you know, at some point, the artists are like, you know what, this is taking way too long to make 100 levels. We need to get rid of like another 50 levels. And I'm like, oh no, like now we've got to get rid of like another 50 levels. And I'm not blaming the artists. There's multiple things that come up over the development. And all reasonable. But yeah, like I think that's what's been painful and that's what's been hard is, scrapping stuff that we don't want to. And there's a few levels even now that like a real pain point for me. There's a couple where I'm like, that level, I wish we could have finished that one.
So most of them you feel like, you know, they weren't cut because they weren't good, fun gameplay levels. You feel like most of them could still be great levels. If there was enough time.
I wouldn't say most of them, you know, like in that 200, there was definitely a few terrible ones. ones that, you know, we tried and we're like, yeah, this doesn't work as good as we thought it did. But, you know, the last like year and a half worth of scrap stuff, I would say there's easily another 20 levels, you know, that we just kind of have it done that we would have liked to.
Well, to anybody that enjoys Max Mustard.
I was going to say, people know that, and to the what's going to be the large group that are going to love the whole the whole game direction, I could easily see the lost levels DLC.
It's actually funny because if we've ever talked about it internally, that's the exact same name that we've used. But there's something about that name, the lost level. It's quite
Well, it kind of draws you to it. It almost seems fitting to the character.
I was going
to
say that. It fits the theme of Max Mustard.
Something about it.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it hits you from every single... There's so many different genres I pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I could even go as far as, ready for this one, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, getting that sense of vibe. And there's no reason for me to. Isn't that weird? But... interpretive.
Yeah. No, Max Mustard is a great game. I'm loving it so far, and to know that there's 20 levels, roughly, not exactly, I understand, it was just a number thrown out, but a good handful of levels that
the lost levels,
yeah, that were great, and it's just, you know, there's
didn't make
a lot cut. Of factors that go into game development, unfortunately. Time, yeah. Resources,
usually it's just time and money, like we just, you know, certain features, like big features that impacted certain levels that we just didn't have the time or resources to get through.
Well, hopefully the game's a hit. We're pushing it. We're loving it.
I, I mean,
I want to see a franchise of it. You referenced it at the start.
I like to take my gambles with certain games and stuff and see how it turns out in the long run. And I'll say, full disclosure, our track record is phenomenal.
Yeah, we've been sold since we heard the name, though.
It really is, on paper, even, because we've got, unfortunately, I guess, fortunately, podcast episodes where we've talked about certain games and it's like, boom, they're always end up being great. And this is one that I have to say is going to encompass, even again, I'm going to go back to the family games. There's not a lot of games where they might be family friendly, but are adults going to want to play them too, mm-hmm. or vice versa? And this is one that, again, it's that, if there was a middle ground of shit going on, I'd say it's in Max Mustard.
Well, and there's no other of those like classic Nintendo, Sega style platforms. You have Moss, mm-hmm. which is a great platformer, but it's more of like a adventure story based platformer. It's, which Max Mustard story based as well, but it's not that classic, you know, short level, collect all the rings,
no.
collect all the coins, get the upgrades. Well,
that's right. Sonic was rings.
Yeah,
that not coins. Yep.
I yeah, but it's the same. It's the same element, though.
Yeah.
But good.
This one's got a star.
Yeah. But of the games that, I'm sorry, of the levels that made it into the game, is there one that stands out to you as your favorite?
There is, but it's I'm like
who's your favorite child?
I'm very biased, really, because, you know, when I first joined, I think there was about three or four like level designers, and I was one of them. Like, I kind of pushed my way up the ladder to be like, you know, lead. Yeah. And so at the start, like I was working on levels just like everyone else. I was just pumping them out. And then, you know, slowly over time, as development kind of ramped up, I realized I got heaps of other stuff I need to do. And slowly, like, I've had to start like pushing all of my levels off to other people to get them to, you know, like do the next passes and get them to finish it off for me. And so there's a couple of levels that, like, you know, I helped work on that haven't really changed too much since I went in. Yeah. So those, like, my favorite levels are basically the ones that I worked on. I mean, even saying that, I don't really want to say.
No, I get it. But that makes total sense.
It's the best food is just the food you cook.
Hello. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It always tastes better.
But I mean, there's a couple of special mentions, I guess. Beatbox. I think Richard's talked about this one before, but, you know, it went out of our way to make a music level. It went and got a very famous beatboxer to do the music for it. Yeah, and we've recently, you know, sent some people over to his place to do like an interview with him and kind of record, like, show off like how his whole like studio works and stuff. Like he's incredible. Like you would never think that like the sounds that he's making is coming from his mouth. It's
I remember him talking about that.
Yep.
It's UK. Yeah, Tom Thumb is the name. If anyone wants to look him up. He's got TED Talk. And then I just really like levels which are, I call them like snappy. I think I really appreciate like just really solid and fundamental like platforming mechanics, you know, like, and I think on that front, one of my favorite levels is Jump Splits, which is just, you know, every time you jump, the platform is kind of switched to a different position. And you know, it's a very simple mechanic, but like, it's just good to be able to go through and you know that everything about this is like under your control. Like you determine like when these platforms are switching, when you jump, and how that all lines up. Yeah, I'm a bit old fashioned.
And another favorites one. Do you have any favorite upgrades or shop items to buy? You know, any that you would say, ooh, you want to get that one?
I mean, I like the piggyback. I'm not sure if it's we probably could have done a better job of like kind of explaining how it works. And in some ways we didn't really want to, but it in the shop there's just like an item that's called piggyback. And you're like, what the flip does this do? And then basically every time you finish a level, basically money goes into the piggyback. And that kind of has like some compounding interest on it. So, you know, over time you play through the game and this piggy bank will just be sitting in the van next to you. And you just know you're like, there's a whole bunch of coins in there. But like, I don't want to break it until like, I need it. So you go into the shop, you're like, damn it, like I need some coins. And you go back into the van, pick up this piggy bank, smash it, and then get a whole bunch of coins.
Is the piggy bank gone after you do that? Or can you, do you have to buy it again?
Does it, it come it's back? Magical. It's a magical repairing piggy bank.
So smash an emergency, but then you get
so you have an no empty one. No concept of how much you have prior to smashing it.
Yeah,
like a real real piggy bank. That's yeah. Awesome.
Oh,
mad money.
That's awesome.
Even the throwback to a piggy bank.
Yeah, that's a cool.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a cool shop up item to get.
Yeah, in our age.
So what I want to know. And I probably won't get an answer on this, and I respect that too, but I can only wonder what's next for the studio. Because night and day directions from what first to now we're looking at Max Mustard.
Three and it's a half like, years of development. You
is
know?
It going to be just constant more Max Mustard? Is there already something on the burner that...
Oh, you were all just taking a month break? What's the post-release look like?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I can't go into... crazy details. what I can say is it really depends. Yeah. I think I would be extremely sad if we didn't get to make a sequel. And I feel like the rest of the team feels the same way. I think this game to me has really been like a huge growth for the studio in particular. Like when I got here, the studio was like three people, you know, they'd made Ritchie Plank, and that was kind of it. And then to growing to the size, the team that we have of like 30 plus people, working around the world on this game, like there's been so much growth in the team and how we work. And we just learned so much. And I would like to think that making a second one would be incredible. I think we would take all of those learnings and make something absolutely phenomenal. But the reality is this game is, without knowing all the details, I would say one of the biggest budget titles on the store. And if we don't get the support we need to really, you know, at least show that like there is some more potential there, that people would be interested, then who knows? So long story short, I don't know, but, I would say the rest of the team would be really sad if we didn't get to make a sequel.
Well, it's the first thing I think of when you said it right at the start, franchise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I should have disclaimered the question with like in a perfect world scenario, because I totally understand a studio's futures depend on current projects and then what happens and then the financial reward for the money spent and the RO. So totally get that. So
it's nice to hear.
I'm just trying to think of a reason why this wouldn't be a successful game with looking at what's on the store, and there's no reason. The name itself, the description, it's like knowing that you're not going to get repeated experiences.
Quick tutorial, so somebody goes in, they're right to the action.
A character to get attached to, a feeling of wanting more upon completion. You know, so I'm trying to check off boxes in my head as to like what would, it doesn't not perform well.
Mm-hmm.
It's smooth function. It's like, I'm just, you know. So I personally, I'll take the gamble. I think you guys are going to be all right. I do. I mean, what's your thought?
Yeah,
there's not others like it. And
it fills a niche that's not existing right now. I don't have any example of a Max Mustard on the store.
And
sorry.
It's fun. It's marketable. I would buy a Max Mustard little figurine.
I wanted that. I wanted that when we talked to Richie about Richie's Plank.
Max Mustard comic books.
you could easily do a Max Mustard storyline, especially comic book style.
Max Mustard DLCs, expansion pack, sequel. To me, it's a no-brainer, which I completely understand. It depends on
sound
sales.
Sound like a Hollywood agent.
Well, it's true, though.
You really do.
That's how I feel.
We got an offer for you, kid. We're going to make Max Mustard everywhere.
That's how I feel about Demio, too. It's like,
Demio, No. There are certain games, and
Demio,
right on scene,
Max Mustard.
To not have the ability to get a Max Mustard, you know, character is crazy. But this will all be dependent upon the success of Max Mustard.
Yeah, but
which I am confident. You think? I think it's going to be in a top selling.
I think it's going to be a hit.
Yep.
Let's see.
Yep. I'll take that bet, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you all as a team just did it. I mean, you did a great job. I was sold on Richie's enthusiasm, but what I can't say I'm sold on anything till I try something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, if
it's
I were
as good
Richie,
as I was hoping.
If I was Richie, I would have been just as friggin' enthusiastic too, because I would have already known how fun some of this is going
to
be.
And now we're talking to you, and you have 100 things you can tell that you wish you could have done, yeah, that you did different, or you're already thinking
the things that I would like to, you know, do. I'm not going to say, because then obviously they might come in like a DLC or something.
They're futures. Right. But a Max Mustard 2, 3, four, the adventures of Max Mustard.
You can hear the potential or the
Max
love.
Mustard saves the world.
You can hear the love and the passion from the team on this one.
No, it's a good project. Everyone should.
I think it is worth pointing out, like you said, Rich is very good at, not sure it's the right word, but like developing like a brand. You know, I think it was always kind of, I wouldn't say intended, but like we wanted it to be, if this game was a success, like, you know, we would be able to, have merchandise and snaps, have a sequel and be a name that people would remember. And you know, I remember like, so much like discussion around the name of the character. We didn't have a name for the character for probably like until like a year ago, maybe even less than that. Yeah, so like 2.5 years we were calling her like all these different names that just like never stuck. And you know, I remember watching a talk from Richard like online somewhere. Like it's a really old talk, but he was basically saying, you know, McDonald's isn't called burgers, right? Like you don't name like a brand or whatever, like after what you do, you know, it has to be like something that people, like stand up and they're like, what's that? You should know, like there's no real like popular brand name that's just explaining what it is, you know, like Mario. It's like, what's that? Like Max Mustard and Vacuum. Like Vacuum became like the name of, like everyone calls it a vacuum. Like a vacuum cleaner, but like Vacuum was the brand. Like that was a word they made up at the time. It sounded cool, right? So I think, the Rich thinks a lot about this stuff a lot more than I do. And I think he's done an incredible job of kind of making a character that has the potential at least to be loved for time to come.
Well, I remember his enthusiasm, and there truly is a difference between making something and just going through the motions to make it because you think it's going to do well, or you're just looking for maybe I'll make some quick money. And it's another thing to do something because you truly freaking enjoy the concept and the thought of it. And that's I think a difference that you can see, especially if you look at his face. Mm-hmm. It lit up when we were talking about Max Mustard.
And besides the enthusiasm, go play it. Go play a couple levels and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be hooked.
Yeah, you're not going to stop after a couple of levels.
Yeah, so I highly recommend Max Mustard. Hopefully, everything's a success. Hopefully, we see more roll out
it will be.
Because I loved it. I think it's great for all ages. It's kid friendly, but that doesn't mean only for kids. Like I said a couple times, adults are going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
People,
I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I might call myself an adult.
I'm an adult kid, you know.
I'm a kid at heart, but
exactly
adult by age.
And it really hits that nostalgia for people that did get to experience it. For those that didn't, you know, it's still going to be a great game. They're not going to miss a beat. Yeah.
It doesn't exist in VR right now. So, I mean, again, they've filled an area that you're just not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, huge stuff. Anything you want to ask Robbie before we let him go? For the listeners that don't know, they're Toast Interactive's over in Australia. We're stealing poor Robbie here at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah. feel terrible.
We're ruthless.
Australia, no, Fabian. It's all, yeah, when it rains, it pours, and we're gearing up for release, you know, like it's a hectic time, and, you know, what better way to put my morning energy into, talking about this project.
Could be out surfing.
Right. Anything you want to ask Robbie before we let him go today?
No, I'm just grateful for the time, and I'm looking forward to the success of this. And
Hopefully it's not the last we've seen of Max Mustard.
We'll have to check in down the road. Once we see everyone digest it, get to play it, we'll watch the reviews, the ratings.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident.
I think the studio's going to do all right though.
Yeah.
Everyone should feel great, man. They brought something that hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't do well, you still did something that no one else did. So it's like,
I think this type of top-down, casual, isometric, top view. I know it's not straight down, that kind of like curve 45.
I'd like to actually refer to it as second person.
Second person. Yeah.
it's like everyone says first person, third person, but like, you see it all the time in books. You're like, oh, it's second person. You're like watching the experience of someone else, but you're still your own like person. Anyway, that was a wild tangent, but I think in my head it's second person. I don't think we'd ever say that on like a document or anything, but
makes sense though.
Yeah, I get,
and totally it even makes sense for the game because everything to me has been this middle ground that they've been able to capture from.
Yes, you do control Max, but you're not Max.
Yeah,
so that does actually make sense.
Makes total sense. But we'll call it second person.
That type of casual gaming, has a huge place in VR. Which, of course, VR interactions and other games are important, too. It's not one or the other. But both type of games, sometimes I just want to sit down and like play like a Townsman VR type or a Deism or, now Max Mustard. So I think it's going to crush it. So anything that you want to touch on today that we didn't get to, Robbie?
No, I think that's it. I'm just really excited to finally, after like 3.5 years, like get this game out to the world and see what people think.
Yeah. And to the listeners, if you haven't checked out Max Mustard yet, I won't speak for both of us. I'll speak for myself. It gets my seal of approval. I don't know about you, but I'm hooked on Max Mustard.
I'm not sold on anything till I tried it. I've tried it. I'm going to try to complete it. I'm hoping that they don't get so god awfully hard. I'm going to hate myself by the end, but my idea is to want to finish it so I can see that I do want more feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's great. There's checkpoints in the level, so if you do die, boom, you don't start from the beginning.
Seems to check a lot of boxes in my books.
So. Yeah, it's very well done. You all did a great job from the gameplay, the level design, great work on yourself there, down to the story writing, the aesthetics, the visuals, the music. It's all done so good. So hats off to Toast Interactive. I think this one's going to be a hit. If you haven't, go check out Max Mustard, and if you enjoy it, as always, drop them a 5-star review on their store page. Helps the developers a bunch.
Means a lot, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's guilty of it. I've even done it. I love a game, and then you don't go to the store and drop a 5-star.
We have all done it.
We're human, but since you're being reminded, if you enjoy Max Mustard, go drop them a 5-star review. They definitely enjoy it. And same for us as a podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, drop us a little 5-star review love.
Doesn't hurt.
Go join our Discord. Go join our Patreon. All that fun stuff. Subscribe to get the episodes ASAP. And, we'll check you out next time. Don't forget to play Max Mustard, too. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks, guys.